We get to inherit the things that God has got. Everything that God has is ours. And He intends to take us there and give it to us all one day. But He says it takes a lifetime, number two, to unwrap. As we talked about it, can you imagine the sincerity, the delicacy, the gentle touch of Mary with a newborn babe, wrapping him in those strips of cloth because that's all she had. But the love that she had for it. And so when Jesus was born, it gave to us a gift to unwrap a lifetime. And every day, wouldn't it be nice if we would just get up every day and say, God, what part do I unwrap today? I have found out that as I get older and my bones creak and pop and snap, that it's not so easy to say, God, what part do I unwrap today? But, oh, my aching knee. God, why did you put that in there? We get joy. We get to unwrap every day, not just at Christmas. Every day. Paul told the Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 9, however it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Just think. We should be able. Yes, we're going to hurt. Yes, we're going to ache, and our bones are going to get old and brittle. Yes, those things are going to happen. But it can overcome because of what God has given us. You know, doctors are great. People have invented medications to take care of this and that and whatever, and to make us feel good, and some of it even makes us feel better than we want sometimes, you know. But no medicine that we can invent on this earth is better than the medicine God can give us. And that is part of it. We get to unwrap it. Paul knew that this gift would take a lifetime. And so he told the church at Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The easiest thing in the world to do is to accept Jesus Christ. That's easy. That is easy. Lord, come into my heart. That's not hard, is it? Not hard at all. But what is difficult is living the Christ-like life that He set for us, isn't it? And this is what we're talking about, unraveling, getting rid of, and unwrapping another part of that gift He has given us. The third thing we see is its enormous value. 1 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. How do you describe the gift that God has given you? The best answer I know is John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. As we think about that, we can quote it, but what does it mean to us? How do we describe that love that God has? It's indescribable, isn't it? There's no way to describe it. And so we see that the shepherds in verse 20 return glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just and they had been told. In seminary, I was a minister of education, so I was not required languages. But I had a lot of friends that were going to be ministers that were required languages. They've studied Hebrew and they have studied Greek. And as they have studied Greek and Hebrew, I asked them, what is the definition of that word glorifying and praising? What is that? How do you define glorifying God? When you talk about glorifying, we went to church and we glorified God today. What does that mean? How do we describe it? How do we tell someone else that? That's what we need to be looking at. The shepherds went back and they told. I could only imagine what that heavenly host must have looked like. Couldn't you? But God has also given us each a heavenly host. The wise men understood it enough that they traveled from a far off, meaning a great distance. They knew that there was something about this baby boy that was important. And they came and they shared with him frankincense, myrrh, and gold, which at that time was precious things to own. But was it enough? Was it indescribable? Was it enormous? And fourthly, we see that God tells us we need to give it away. Now, how many of us, and I'm not going to ask you to raise hands on this one, how many of us would take a gift and turn around and give it away to someone else? Now, if you got two or three, you might would do that. But if it was a special gift given to you, would we want to turn around and give it away? But that's exactly what God says in Acts 20:35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of Lord Jesus himself, who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." How do you feel when you walk in or out of the store and that person is ringing that bell and you put money in that pot? Does that make you feel good? Or do you feel guilty? Or you feel like you have to? What is your feeling about that? When God and when Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive, how do we feel about that? Do we give freely? Do we give the way we should? Not just to the church. I'm not talking about this here. Yes, that's a whole nother sermon. But do we give God everything? He sent his son on this earth to do what? To die for us. Are we willing to die for him? Are we willing to serve him? Are we willing to give it away? Unfortunately, almost every person that has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has been done by what we call religious leaders, whether it's ministers, minister of education, youth workers, children's workers, those types. The general population of a church never leads anyone to church, to the Lord. And yet, God says we're to give it away. This gift that I'm giving you, you're to what? Give it away. Give it away. It's a time at Christmas that we do become generous, don't we? More so than any other time in the world. Face it. Think about it for a second. Don't we do more acts of kindness during this time of the season than all the rest of the year? Why? It's magical. It's special. It's Christmas time. But as you ride around, you see these signs that has Christ and then the M-A-S on the end, Christmas. Yes, it's Christmas time, folks. But Christ is not just this time of the period. Christ is every day. Every day. Not December the 25th. So as we come, we see that we are to give it away. It is a gift that takes in a lifetime, but it is so valuable to give away. And the last thing it is, it enriches the life of everyone who gets it. I'll be honest with you. I've never heard a person say, when I accepted Jesus Christ and got saved, it was the worst time in my life. You ever heard it? Not at the beginning. But as we began to grow, sometimes we kind of doubt it, don't we? So as we think about it, it's not. It enriches the life, and it gives us, we see in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They went and they told others. The woman at the well, when she was given the living water, what did she do with it? Stick it in her pocket? Take it home and put it on a mantle. She went to town and she told everybody that would listen to her, "This man told me everything I have ever done, and he has given me this living water." And the people immediately rushed out to go find Jesus. They wanted it too, because they had seen how it enriched. In Deuteronomy 31:8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Folks, God made a promise. "I will never leave you." That means God is always with us. We may not want God with us at a certain time, but He is there regardless, because He promised He would never leave us. Isn't that great? It doesn't matter where you go. You can go to the farthest depths of the earth, to the darkest part of the sea. You could go to outer space, and guess what? God is with you. There's nowhere. Remember? He is always there. Before this gift that I received from God, I was doomed. I thought I was enjoying life. I was blonde-headed because I was a beach bum, and I had that slogan, enjoy life and get all the gusto you can out of it. And I was trying. I really was trying to get the gusto. And you know what? I wasn't really happy. I didn't know it at the time. But nothing lasted any length of time. That's what's wrong with alcoholism and drug addicts and things like that. They get these alcohol and drugs and they get up on this high, but eventually what's going to happen? They've got to come down, or they've got to find more stuff to get back up there. Jesus will give you a natural high, and it's up to you where you want to be, isn't it? If you want a natural high with Him, then you stay with Him. You work with Him. You unravel those presents that He has given you. But afterwards, He is always there with us. Never leave us. He also told us in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Listen to this part. This is what really tickles me. "Plans to prosper you." God has a plan to what? Prosper me. That means what? To do good with me. And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Now, I don't know what this world's going to hold in the future. Some have said we can't handle another 3 more years with our president right now. That may be, and that may not. But if we live past these 3 years, there comes an election. And my question is, are we going to live with the next one? We don't know what the plans for the future hold, do we, for the country? But we know what the plans of the future for God is, don't we? No questions, no debates. Does it matter who you are? If you know Jesus Christ, you know God has those plans. We receive this priceless gift that He has given us. Paul says in Romans 8:6, "The mind of sinful man is death." That's what we deserve. That's the gift. But thank goodness there's a comma there. "But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." God has given us a chance, folks. This gift takes a lifetime to unwrap. And we may take this Christmas morning or whenever and rip those packages open and be so ecstatic. But Christ is with us always. It is a gift that is meant to unwrap a piece at a time each and every day of our lives. When we can do that, we begin to see ourselves grow closer to God, to claim that power that He has given us, to understand as the shepherds did, to be able to glorify God and praise God, not just here, not with just the music that we have here, but to praise God in our hearts, in our cars, we're driving, at our jobs, when we're working, at school, and anywhere we're at, we can praise God, can't we? We can do that. So I challenge you this week, Sunday morning, or not Sunday morning, I'm stuck on Sundays, Wednesday morning, Christmas Day, when you come and gather around to open presents, to think about the gift that God has given you and the challenges He has set to unwrap it a lifetime. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day that You have given us. We thank You for Your Son who has given us peace, hope, joy, and love. And as we come this year to celebrate this Christmas Day, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us remember it, not just on that one day, but each and every day of our lives. Father, without the birth, there would have been no death and resurrection. And without any death and resurrection, there would not be any hope for any of us. But because you loved us, because you cared for us, you let your Son come on this earth to die for our sins and to give us a gift that will take a lifetime to unwrap. Help us to unwrap it each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is number 91, Silent.